into retirement today with Jenna Carnes. Planning for retirement comes with its own set of challenges, from navigating market ups and downs to protecting your purchasing power and creating a strategy that fits your vision for the future. On this show, we'll break down key financial topics, offer practical advice, and explore strategies to help you retire with confidence. Now let's jump into retirement today.
Hello and welcome to Retirement Today. My name is Jenna Carnes, founder and financial advisor with Beacon Wealth Advisory. And we're here to help get you to and through retirement with financial peace of mind. If you would like to listen to this show or any of our past shows, you can go out to beaconwealthadvisory.com, our website. And while you're on our website, at the bottom of the homepage, you can subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or even watch us on YouTube. But if you subscribe, you'll be notified every time we have a new show that comes out. So I want to bring in Jacqueline Gladhill, my co-host. Jacqueline, I forgot to tell you, but a lot of my clients have been saying that they just love you.
Oh, well, good. Well, hi, Jenna. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, I'm excited about the show because there's going to be a lot of information that I think our listeners are really going to benefit from. And, you know, lots of numbers and lots of, you know, we're getting down to the nitty gritty today. And I'm excited for you to start. So what will we be talking about today?
Yeah, well, some big changes in 2026 that will impact people on the retirement front, basically mainly with IRAs and 401ks. And those updates aren't just technical tweaks buried in the fine print. There are really, Jacqueline, some amazing financial planning opportunities to build more and strengthen the long-term financial picture. But here's the key. These new opportunities are only useful if you actually understand the rules, right? Mm-hmm. And with 2026 bringing higher contribution limits, new withdrawal requirements, and a handful of adjustments tied to that Secure 2.0 Act and inflation, there's a lot to keep track of. One of the biggest shifts is a major change to catch-up contributions for higher income earners, which is something that probably a lot of people have not heard about yet. So during today's show, the information I'm referencing is really from a Kiplinger's article. You do know I subscribe to Kiplinger, right, Jacqueline?
Yes. We have had many articles from them.
Yes. I do like that. The article is six changes to IRAs, 401ks, and HSAs in 2026. So we are going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and Jenna, you're absolutely right. I mean, these changes are big and they're just going to catch a lot of people off guard. You know, and it's a lot of information to try and pay attention to. But like you said, Jenna, the good news is that there are real opportunities here. I mean, for bettering every aspect, right? And so higher contribution limits and clear guidelines can make a super meaningful difference for anyone trying to build, you know, that more solid retirement plan that we continue to talk about every week. And that catch-up contribution change for high earners, that's a huge one too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of the listeners are going to want to understand how it works and whether it truly affects them.
Yes. I'm excited to share this information. We are going to get pretty technical and into the nitty gritty, like you said today, but all these numbers are worth listening to. So let's start with the biggest 2026 changes. Are you ready, Jacqueline?
Yes.
All right. And these are aimed directly at higher income earners who are 50 or older. Beginning in 2026, if you're in that group, you would want to make catch-up contributions to your 401k, 403b, or governmental 457 plan. Those contributions, though, can no longer be pre-tax, the catch-up contributions. They now must go into the Roth side of the plan, which means they are made on an after-tax basis. And that's a pretty big, important shift. In the past, higher income earners relied on that upfront tax deduction when making those catch-up contributions starting in 2026. That deduction, Jacqueline, disappears now for anyone who meets that income threshold. Can you believe that? big changes, right?
Yeah.
Instead, the trade-off becomes you pay taxes on that money now, but qualified withdrawals in retirement are tax-free. So the benefit moves from the front end to the back end. So it won't help as much while you're working on your taxes, but long-term, it's really nice to have more tax-free money in the overall plan, right, Jacqueline?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so let's just get into kind of the more details of this, right? And so, Jenna, who does this apply to specifically? Because I'm sure it's, you know, a pretty niche percentage or a niche group of people.
Yes, yes. Most importantly, you have to meet this specific criteria to answer your question, Jacqueline. You have to be age 50 or older, or you'll turn 50 that year. And your FICA wages from the prior calendar year, usually box three on your W-2, were over $150,000 with the employer sponsoring the plan. If your 2025 FICA wages exceed $150,000 and you're at least 50, you won't be able to deduct your catch-up contributions anymore. So that income threshold will adjust for inflation over time, but the rule itself is here to stay. And here's really an important detail. In 2026, the catch-up limit is $8,000. Hey, it went up from $7,500 in 2025. We'll take it, right, Jacqueline? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
If you're subject to that higher earner rule, that entire $8,000 must be designated as Roth or after tax. So there is, again, no pre-tax option on that catch-up contribution. And this part can really catch people off guard if your employer's plan doesn't offer a Roth feature. Then higher earners who fall under this rule simply won't be allowed to make catch-up contributions at all. So that's something really worth checking into with HR or your 401k plan administrator sooner rather than later. Right, Jacqueline?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a major change, Jenna. I mean, especially for people who were counting on those pre-tax contributions in, you know, their final working years.
Yeah. And
I imagine a lot of our listeners, you know, fall right around that $150,000 mark, close enough that you're not really sure whether this applies to them or not.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which is why it really is a good time to start the conversation with, again, your HR or plan administrator or financial advisor. So if you're near that income level or already above it, you do want to understand how this mandatory Roth catch-up rule could impact your 2026 savings strategy. So the earlier you get with those people to plan for it, the smoother the transition will be. And some people I've talked to that have heard about it, Jacqueline, are real excited about it. And then there's other people that are like, oh no, you know, if their plan doesn't have a Roth, it's kind of a bummer. So
absolutely.
But let's move on to another big change coming in 2026, which is the increased contribution limits for 401ks, 403b, and 457 plans. So we're talking now about your work retirement plans. We see the limits rise from time to time, but 2026 adjustments are especially meaningful. So anytime those ceilings go up, it gives employees more room to build long-term savings, right?
Yeah, and that's huge for anyone who's really trying to maximize those final working years. I mean, especially people planning to use those catch-up contributions, right?
Yes, yes. When those limits rise, it lets people put money income into tax advantage accounts, which can boost long-term compound growth. And depending on how they structure contributions, they may also get immediate tax benefits.
Okay. Yeah. So the timing matters too. I mean, we continue to hear concerns about the Social Security, you know, trust fund and whether benefits could or will shift in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always on the news and people are always asking us about that. And that's really why these higher limits are so important. Some experts suggest that people may need more personal savings now, Jacqueline, to help offset any potential reductions later on. One estimate from the article suggests that someone might need about $138,000 in additional savings just to create the same income if Social Security is reduced using that old 4% withdrawal rule. So I don't know about you, but you know, at least for people my age, I basically tell people, you know, let's just not plan on relying on Social Security because we don't know how much it'll be there or what will happen. But, you know, it's interesting that they're saying you have to potentially save more now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's a great point, Jenna, because this really puts the whole contribution increase into perspective, you know, with numbers here.
Yeah, it really does. And since we're talking about the numbers for 2026, this is what it looks like. Again, we're focusing right now on employer plans. So those retirement plans that you have through work. The employee contributions under age 50 are $24,500, which is up a little bit from $23,500. The catch-up contributions for age 50 are $8,000. Again, up from 7,500. So we'll take it, right? The total for age 50 then would be 32,500. The super catch up, and this is big. This was a big change last year for people between 60 and 63. It's still an additional 11,250. So get this, the total that people could contribute into their 401ks or, you know, company retirement plans, if they're between the ages of 60 and 63, is $35,750. Isn't that great?
Wow. I mean, and right, Jenna, because, you know, in that age between the 60 and 63, you know, the quote, super catch-up window is truly part of the Secure 2.0. So it's a temporary bump to help people nearing retirement, you know, save more. And that's a big number.
It is. Yes. Yes. We're happy with what Congress did here, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we need to take advantage of it, right? Because we don't know how long that will last. You mentioned temporary. We don't know how long that'll last. So
yeah, and making smart decisions with what we know, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, for anyone who hasn't reviewed their contribution strategy lately, this really is a great time to do it with all these changes that are going on in 2026 to strengthen your retirement plan. And now, Jacqueline, we talked about the employer plans. Let's shift over to the IRAs because traditional and Roth IRAs are also seeing some very important updates for 2026. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, one thing that trips people up is the income rules around traditional IRAs for contributing, but for deducting those contributions. There's no income limit to putting money into a traditional IRA, but the ability to deduct that contribution depends on your income and whether you or your spouse is covered already by a workplace retirement plan. And a lot of people don't realize this. Okay. You know?
Yeah. Well, and right, Jenna, and that's where people sometimes, you know, can get really confused because it's not just about your coverage. It's truly about your spouse's coverage and how that can affect your deduction.
Yeah, it's really about both, you know, yours and your spouse's. They have to take both into consideration. So if you're personally not covered by a 401k or some kind of retirement plan at work, but let's say your spouse is, you can still take the deduction, but your joint income depends whether you get the full deduction, a partial one, or none. And here's the simplest version. If neither of you is covered by a 401k, let's say, you can take the full deduction up to the annual limit, no matter what your modified adjusted gross income is or MAGI.
Okay, so let's talk about this in put it in the numbers, Jenna, because I think that that puts it into perspective for our listeners.
Yes, for a traditional or Roth IRA, the contribution limit, if you're under 50, is $7,500, which is up from $7,000 in 2025. The catch-up contribution, you can always do a little more if you're over 50, is $1,100, which is up from $1,000. So now the phase out ranges for deducting traditional IRA contributions does depend on your filing status and whether you're covered by a workplace plan. So you really do have to chat with your CPA and look at your income and how you file your taxes to figure out if you can actually deduct that IRA.
Yeah.
But if you're covered by a plan at work, the 2026 phase outs are if you're single. The full deduction is you can take it if you make $81,000 or less. There's a partial deduction if you make income anywhere from $81,000 to $91,000. There's no deduction, though. You cannot deduct it on your taxes if you're single, if you make over $91,001. Good to know.
Yep.
Now, if you're married and you file jointly and both spouses are covered, let's say, the full deduction at $129,000 or less is available. So if you make $129,000 as a household, you can do that. Mm-hmm. There's a partial deduction on your taxes if you're between $129,000 and $1 to $149,000, but there's no deduction at all if you're over $149,000 and $1. And so a lot of people don't know that. Now, if you're married filing separately, excuse me, you get the full deduction if you're below $10,000. There's no deduction if you make $10,000 in income or more. So if you're married and you file separately, chances are, you know, depending on your income, you may not be able to deduct that IRA off your taxes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if only one spouse is, you know, covered by a workplace plan, that opens up a different set of income thresholds. I mean, that's correct. Right, Jenna?
Yes, it sure does. In that case, for married couples filing jointly, the phase out ranges are a bit higher. So you get the full deduction if you are under $242,000 in income. You get a partial deduction from $242,000 to $252,000, but there is no deduction at all if you make over $252,000. And all of those numbers are up a little bit from the 2025 limits, which is great.
Yeah. And Roth IRAs, you know, still have their own separate income rules. So we have to remember this. And as you've told us before, Jenna, those rules don't affect deductions. They determine whether you can contribute at all.
Right. Correct. So for 2026, the Roth IRA income phase out ranges look like this. So if you're single, it begins at $153,000 and ends at $168,000. If you're married filing jointly, it begins at $242,000 and ends at $252,000. And if you're married filing separately, the phase out is below $10,000, kind of similar, basically similar to the traditional IRA. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, Jenna, it seems like the bottom line here is that IRAs are becoming a little bit more flexible in terms yes. of contribution amounts. But people and our listeners, you know, we really need to understand where their income fits into these deduction and eligibility rules.
Yes, I agree. With all of these adjustments happening in 2026, it's a great time to reevaluate your IRA strategy, especially if your income is near one of those phase out ranges. And now that we've talked about personal retirement accounts like IRAs, let's shift, Jacqueline, to something that is really very important, which is retirement plans for small business owners and mm-hmm. self-employed. Yeah. The 2026 changes actually offer some of the biggest opportunities for them. So when contribution limits rise for plans like SEP IRAs, solo 401ks, and simple IRAs, that's a powerful development. And it means business owners can set aside more money in tax advantage accounts, not just for themselves, but also potentially for their employees.
Well, yeah, and that's a huge deal because, you know, small business owners don't always get the same built-in benefits that others may do at bigger companies. And so yeah. when these limits do increase, it really gives them room to build that security.
Yes, I think that's very well stated. And there's another side to it. Higher contribution ceilings can help business owners maximize deductions and make their benefit packages more competitive. And that matters when you're trying to attract and retain good talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's break down all those rules for simple IRAs and simple 401ks. And again, these are retirement plans really geared toward those small business owners. For those plans, the 2026 limits look like this. The employee contribution is $17,000. That's the limit, which is $500 higher than 2025. The catch-up contributions for ages 50 to 59 and 64 plus are $4,000, also up $500. the super catch up. Again, these people at 60 and 63 really have an opportunity, don't they? An additional $5,250, which stays the same as 2025. But I really like that they're giving people closer to retirement that extra catch up, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Now let's look at the SEP IRAs. The maximum annual contribution is $72,000, which is up about $2,000 from last year. The annual compensation limit is $360,000, which is up about $10,000. That's a pretty big difference.
Wow.
Yeah. And importantly, SEP IRAs do not allow super catch-up contributions, though, unlike some other plans. So that's important to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what I'm, you know, trying to understand here is that solo 401ks are always pretty popular with the self-employed listeners. So what's changing specifically with the solo 401ks?
Yeah, and solo 401ks you see mainly where it's like a self-employed contractor. Maybe they don't have employees. But you can see here, there's several updates. So under age 50, the contribution limit's $24,500. Ages 50 to 59 and 64 is $32,500, which includes an $8,000 catch-up. Ages 60 to 63 is $35,750, which includes $11,250 super catch-up.
Wow.
And yeah, and the employer contribution is up to 25% of the compensation for all age groups. So the total combined limit between what the employee can contribute and the employer is under age 50, 72,000, ages 50 to 59 and 64, 80,000, and ages 60 to 63, it's all the way up to $83,250. So you can see why solo 401ks are very important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of opportunities here, Jenna, especially for, you know, those self-employed people who really want to make the most of their high earning years. And these plans really do give them a chance to build that strong retirement foundation and that strong retirement plan that they talk about when we want our clients to have.
Yeah. And what I think is so neat about the solo 401k is you can contribute as both the employee and the employer. Oh. As the employer, your profit sharing contribution can be up to 25% of compensation after Social Security and Medicare taxes. And the overall compensation cap for 2026 is $360,000. That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so Jenna, before we keep going on with today's conversation, can you please share with our listeners how they can schedule a complimentary consultation with you and your team to ask questions or to get more information on this?
Yeah, it is just so important to work with a financial advisor that will keep you updated on all of these different tax law and retirement planning legislation updates that come out. So we would love to help you plan with this, whether you're a small business owner or an individual trying to plan for retirement. You can give us a call at 1-800-994-8993 to schedule a complimentary consultation. Again, that's 1-800-994-8993, or you can even go out to our website, beaconwealthadvisory.com, and scheduling a consultation. It only takes a few minutes, and we're happy to chat and work around your schedule.
Well, perfect, Jenna. And we still have a lot to cover in this episode.
Yes,
so
we do.
Let's get back to our topic.
Sounds good. Well, we're going to take a simple and quick look at some other important changes in 2026. And this one might actually show up right in your mailbox starting in 2026. Defined contribution plans like 401ks must send participants at least one paper statement every year, unless you've specifically chosen to receive everything electronically.
Well, and this is pretty interesting, Jenna, because people who've been strictly digital up until now might suddenly see an envelope from their retirement plan provider, which I do have to say, we've talked about this before on the show. You and I are very, you know, written, have it out in hand. So I'm up for this one.
I think so too. Yeah. And unless they've opted out, they've at least got one paper statement annually. And for defined benefit plans, like traditional pension style plans, that requirement is a little different. Those plans have to provide a paper statement at least once every 3 years.
Okay. Well, and this honestly seems like a small change, but it does shift the experience of, you know, the person back towards something more tangible, like we just talked about. For some people, yeah, having that, you know, physical reminder in their hand can be really helpful in helping keep track of their retirement progress. You know, I just think of like tabs on my car. When they come in the mail, that's when I know that I have to renew, right?
Yes, I agree. I think communication nowadays can get lost pretty easy with email, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And it's also a good cue to review your communication preferences. If you really prefer everything digital, it's worth checking to make sure that you've done that election before 2026 rolls around. Sometimes, you know, when you get those statements in the mail, Jacqueline, or prospectuses, you know, it's like, gosh, you get a packet this thick, right? And you're like, man, if I would have just done digital, I could have saved some trees here, right? Yeah. And made everybody's life easier. So yeah, it is important to do that, I think, before 2026, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. The other thing that I want to highlight that plays a big role in some of these changes before and after retirement are health savings accounts, or HSAs. Healthcare can be one of the toughest costs to manage, especially later in life. So those HSAs are one of the most tax advantage ways to prepare for those expenses. So if you've enrolled in a qualifying high deductible health plan, you can contribute to an HSA before you sign up for Medicare. What makes HSAs so powerful is the triple tax benefit, because your contributions go in pre-tax, or they're tax deductible if you contribute after tax. The growth is tax-free and the withdrawals are tax-free as long as you use them for qualified medical expenses. You and I love tax-free, don't we, Jacqueline?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so, but then the rules shift a little bit after the age of 65, right?
Yes, they do. After 65, you can still withdraw HSA funds for non-medical reasons without a penalty. The withdrawals are just taxed as ordinary income, which is similar to how a traditional IRA works. But if you use the funds for qualified medical expenses, they remain completely tax-free. So to even have an HSA, your health plan has to really meet certain criteria. And that's where things like contribution limits, minimum deductibles, and maximum out-of-pocket amounts really do come into play.
Yeah. And catch-up contributions, they work a little differently with HSAs too.
Yes. Jacqueline, you're on your A game, my friend.
Thank you.
If you're age 50 or older by the end of the tax year and you've not enrolled in Medicare, you can contribute to an additional $1,000 as a catch-up. And if both spouses are 55 or older and not enrolled in Medicare, each person can use the catch-up. They just have to make those contributions into separate HSA accounts. So let's walk through the official 2026 numbers for HSA qualified high deductible plans. If you're self-only covered, the maximum HSA contribution now is $4,400. The minimum annual deductible is $1,700. The maximum out-of-pocket limit's $8,500. If you're a family, the maximum HSA contribution is $8,750. The minimum annual deductible is $3,400. And the maximum out-of-pocket limit is up to $17,000. And wow. Again, the catch-up contributions for individuals age 55 and over is $1,000.
Okay. And these are pretty important figures, Jenna, especially for people trying to decide whether a high deductible plan is a good fit for them or not. And HSAs can be incredibly valuable, but only if the plan itself meets those eligibility rules.
Yeah, you got it. There's a helpful tip. You can use HSA funds tax-free for Medicare Part B and Part D premiums, as well as co-pays, deductibles, and co-insurance. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yep. A lot of people don't. Just keep in mind, though, that the Medicap premiums don't qualify. Those withdrawals would be taxable. But again, HSA funds are tax-free for Medicare Part B and Part D premiums.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Jenna, after walking through all these changes from catch-up rules to IRA limits to HSA details, it really shows just how complicated retirement planning can be. And it's just so good to stay on top of the cutting edge of all these updates. And these just aren't small tweaks. And it's so much for the average listener to really grasp. And they're just the kind of shifts that can change how people save, how they invest, and also how they prepare for the long term.
Yeah, you really have to stay on top of all of these changes or you lose your opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. And while most of these updates are positive, including higher limits, more opportunities, more flexibility, they can also create confusion. So that's why really working with the financial advisor that's on top of all these changes can make a huge mm-hmm. difference. A lot of people don't realize how much strategy goes into choosing the right account, the right contribution level, or even the right timing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And because it's not just the save more and just hope for the best, right? Crossing our fingers. It's about understanding what applies to you personally and things like your age, your income, your workplace plan, and even your family situation. There are a lot of variables in this situation.
There really is. And that's why it's just so important to work with a financial advisor. Because if you're just trying to do all of this on your own to manage your account and stay on top of all of these updates and changes and take advantage of the opportunities, good luck, you know, unless you're doing it full time or something.
Yeah.
So as a financial advisor, you can really look at the entire picture and really help people understand which of these 2026 changes actually impact them personally. Uh-huh. For example, whether the Roth catch-up rule applies, whether you're near one of these IRA phase-out ranges, or whether a high deductible plan makes sense based on your healthcare needs. It's just really important for someone to listen to you and your specific goals and then figure out how these changes would impact you.
Absolutely. And I imagine the guidance becomes so valuable for business owners and the self-employed, especially.
Yeah. And not that employees aren't busy, but you know, when you run a business, there is just so much on your shoulders sometimes. And I think business owners can be, you know, very busy depending on the business. So a lot of our business owner clients especially appreciate having us as their advisor because it just saves them time.
Yeah.
And those plans have so many moving parts, whether it's the simple IRA, the SEP IRA, the solo 401k, and just knowing which one of those plans would best meet their needs and give them the biggest tax deduction. That's why really working closely with your financial advisor as well as your CPA to take full advantage of what's available, avoid mistakes, and stay aligned with your long-term goals is so important.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you, Jenna, for another great show. It was a long one. It was intense. But hopefully our listeners stuck it out with us. And anything else before we conclude?
Well, I think a lot of people probably listening have questions. We threw out a lot of numbers. Congress really came out with some legislation changes that are, a lot to absorb, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have questions about retirement or your financial strategy based on all of this, you can visit our website at www.beaconwealthadvisory.com or call our office to schedule that no-cost complimentary consultation at 1-800-994-8993. We'd love to help you protect your savings and really just feel so confident about the road ahead.
Yeah, and don't forget to go out on to YouTube and subscribe by typing in the Beacon Wealth Advisory into the search engine to get notified every single time we have a new video out. And you also get to watch our beautiful faces, which makes more sense to me. And you can also listen to our show and follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, and Apple Podcasts. So thank you, Jenna, for a wonderful recording. And thanks for joining us, listeners and viewers, for another episode of Retirement Today with Jenna Carnes from Beacon Wealth Advisory.
Thanks for tuning in to Retirement Today. A well-planned retirement goes beyond savings. It's about having a strategy for both income and taxes. To learn more, reach out to Jenna Carnes at Beacon Wealth Advisory by calling 800-994-8993 or visiting beaconwealthadvisory.com. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of Retirement Today.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Beacon Wealth Advisory, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Beacon Wealth Services. Beacon Wealth Advisory and Beacon Wealth Services are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.